y'all, good morning and welcome. If you would, take your hymnal and stand on page 531. 531, if you'll endure with me, 531. And Brother John is not here, and I'm hoarse. So y'all help me out the best you can. Smile and sing loud. So 531, let's sing the first, second, and last verse, all right?
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
On the second,
ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the
good to be here this morning. Good to see you all. We have quite a few that are out this morning for different reasons. And obviously, as Curtis mentioned, John woke up sick in the middle of the night. And there's some of that going around. And as I look at the young people, they mostly came back in one piece from camp. And sorry to say, the vans didn't both make it back in one piece. One of them died about halfway back. And I told him, if you just would have scraped the name off the side, pushed it over in the ditch, kicked some dirt on it, we'd be done with it. But anyway, I guess we'll have to go get it. But it's good to see everybody this morning. We'll be hearing from the young people tonight, some testimonies from their experience at camp. Brother Penny Fafawina will be preaching for us this morning. They'll be returning to Western Samoa Tuesday. It's been great having them around a little closer to home these last months, but it has come the time for them to return. I guess it's home, isn't it, Penny? Got to go back home. And the Martins, Bruce and Proby, will be leaving for Argentina on Tuesday. So we got all these, or Wednesday, excuse me. The Fafawinas are going Tuesday. We'll get that right. But it's we're here right now today. And we want to take a couple of minutes and welcome each other. And please get around to our visitors' church family.
Oh,
If y'all return to your seat and grab your hymnal, page 435. We'll sing the first, second, and fifth on this one.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
On the second,
I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. Sins that were many are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Came into my heart.
Now, before we sing that fifth one, I'm just curious. Who is happy since Jesus came into your heart? Do yourselves a favor and let your face know it. Okay? Oh, goodness. You almost look like you're hurting out there. Man, it's not that bad. It's really good. So, all right, let's sing that last one. Ready?
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. I am happy, so happy as onward I go since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. righty, if y'all stand one last time, page 78. Page 78. First, third, and fourth.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
On the third,
let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
On the last,
onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Thank you. You may be seated, Brother Daniel.
Bienvenidos. I mean, good to see you this morning. Today's announcements. Ladies brunch tomorrow at Cracker Barrel. Ladies welcome to meet at 10 o'clock off of Meacham and I-30 at Cracker Barrel. Wednesday night, Thomas Hastings, missionary to Germany, will be speaking in the service. Home Builders Activity, this Saturday. Oh, men come down for the offering, sorry. This Saturday, Home Builders, class activity, Father's Day, it's Sunday, next Sunday. Ladies Fellowship, Tuesday on the 19th at 7 p.m. If y'all want any, and Pastor's classroom, if y'all have any, want any more details, get with Miss Marcia for details. And evening fellowship, Sunday, June 24th after the service, come say goodbye to the Grahams before they head out to Mississippi. And Metropolitan Saints Fellowship, Thursday the 28th at 11 a.m. See Miss Sandra for details. And we have the men's breakfast Saturday the 30th at 9 a.m. in the gym. It's been a blessing coming to that men's breakfast. I have gotten to know a lot of the brothers here in Christ through that, and it's been a blessing. All right, let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we give you thanks, Father, for this day, and Father, just to have a place to worship together, and brothers and sisters in Christ to worship with, the pastor to lead us. And Father, we pray that you be with, I believe it's Brother Penny that's going to be preaching, and just pray that you be with him, Lord, and that you speak to our hearts. Pray that if there be any, Lord, in attendance, Lord, that my prayer is that they'll come to know you if they're lost, Lord, and the sacrifice that was given for our sins in Jesus Christ. I pray that you be with the offering and just bless it, Lord, and that we use it for your glory, for your honor. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
If you've got a problem I'd sure like to share, there's one special way I can show you I care. I could offer opinion that might prove a truth, for the only sure answer, here's what I'll do. I will talk to my Father for you. And if I know my Father, here's what he'll do. He'll lay at your feet all the things you do it for you. I have never prayed fire down from the sky, but God saw each tear that ever fell from these eyes. So if you've got a mountain alone, I will talk to my Father for you. And if I know my Father, here's what he'll do. He'll lay at your feet all the things you pursue. It's no bother.
The Lord's doing in Samoa. I don't know if you want to give a little update about what's going on back home.
Okay. Amen. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, we haven't heard a lot of things from our ministry, but I know from you know, communicating with missionary Brother Jim Sivali, the guys are doing a fantastic job. So he's still doing the radio station 24/7, and also the preaching. And Jim Sivali attended one of the service when he was in the town to saw him and his wife attending one of the services and said, the guy's doing a fantastic job. So that's the update that we got from them. And I'm sure, because if there's anything that happens, they will call me and let us know. And also we sort of communicate on Facebook with our deacons and our people in our church. And things seem like going really well. And thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. And thank you. I'd like to thank you, Metropolitan Baptist Church, for sending us out. And thank you for your support. We know that we had to hear all these the furlough, because we were traveling a lot. And we put about, you know, 70,000 miles in our vehicle just traveling. But I thank God that He protects us and watch over us, but He hits around us as we travel on the last furlough. And we're heading back to Samoa on a Tuesday. We'll be in New Zealand for 2 weeks, and I have to preach another church there in New Zealand before we're heading back to Samoa. But this morning, I'd like to thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Metropolitan, for your support, your prayerful support, and also your financial support, be able to keep us on the field. This morning, we're looking at the book of John, chapter 4. I think the last message I preached here in Metropolitan, in a mission conference, I was preaching on Matthew chapter 9. The verse said, "Then said he unto the disciple, the harvest truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." This morning we're going to look at another verse similar to that verse in John chapter 4. If you want to stand with me, we're going to read John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Can we all read together that verse? Okay, let's read together. Verse 35. "Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Father, we come before your presence this morning. We ask that you expound this verse in our hearts and help us, Lord, that we'll be able to look at the context of this verse and help us that we'll be able to understand where these chapters come from. And this verse will challenge our heart and our service for you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever worked on something very important and you got a phone call that somebody tried to withdraw your account somewhere, and then you dropped everything and you tried to get to, you know, to the bank or anything? Like, you dropped something very important and you go somewhere that is not really important. A lot of times in our lives we're interrupted with things that's not important. But I was looking at this chapter, and my nephew in Australia, he was trying to he had his heart, he's surrendered to preach, but he had his heart to the K people, and he posted something really weird on the internet and on Facebook. I mean, his conviction was towards the gay people, that gay people should go to heaven. And they have all the discussion on the Facebook, and I didn't say anything. Most of the verses he quoted is out of context. And then the only verse of the Bible that I boast in that conversation is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Amen. And sometimes we get into a subject and we don't even study the scriptures, what it means and where that scripture comes from. And I think this is one of those scriptures that we look at. Sometimes we don't know the whole context. We have to study the context to know what Jesus is really mean by this portion of scripture. Jesus said in verse 25, "Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest." You know, this chapter reminds us of a very important task. Sometimes we forget because of other things interrupted. You know, I heard 2 Sundays ago, I was here listening to a missionary, and he preached about something, and it stuck on my mind that Sunday night. He said something very speak to me, and said the two, you probably heard that. He said the two malefactors was on the other side of Jesus. They were fighting their way to try put them on the cross. You know, they fighting their way out of the cross, but Jesus laid down his life on that cross. Amen. He didn't even wrestle. He didn't hardly carry the cross on Golgotha Mountain because he was, you know, the blood was all drained out. His body was not recognized as a man. And Jesus laid down his life. And I went home that night and write down the thought, and I kind of write down something on a paper. You know, he laid down his life to save. We should lay down our life to serve. Amen. And I would start looking at that, looking at the scriptures, and I didn't finish it because something interrupted. I had to travel, and it's still in my computer. I didn't even finish it because something important interrupted with another thing. It's hard to finish it. But this is one of the things that Jesus talk about in this chapter. Let's go back to verse 3. Verse number 3, he said he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must need to go through Samaria. And all of you know the map of the promised land, or the Israel. Galilee is on the top, in the middle of Samaria, down is Judea. When Jesus said he's going to Galilee, he has to cross Samaria. And Samaria is a place that the Jews does not want to get along with these people. If you go back in history and understand the history of the Israelites nation, God chose only one man. In Genesis chapter 12, God chose Abraham. He's the father of a Hebrew nation. And God promised Abraham he's going to bless those that blessed him and cursed him that cursed thee. He promised Abraham that. And when Abraham to his son Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel came to in the scene. And those tribes of Israel called, you know, the sons of Jacob called Israel. And Israel is a whole nation, 12 tribes. And during the time of Rehoboam, you know, after Saul, the first king of Israel, and then David, and then Solomon. And after Solomon, his son Rehoboam divided the kingdom. And when Rehoboam divided the kingdom, they split into two kingdoms, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. So a northern kingdom called Israel, and a southern kingdom called Judah. And from that time, the Jews and the Israelites, or the Samaritans, the Samaritans, the 10 tribes, the Assyrian took the 10 tribes up to capture the 10 tribes and bring people and intermarriage there in Samaria. And that's where the people of Samaria, you know, come from, the Samaritan. Actually, they're half Jews or half Israelites of something else. And they're both Jews. This is when Jesus came here. He said Samaria located in the middle of Judea and Samaria. History tells us when the Jews traveled to Galilee, they walk up to the bank of a Jordan River. Sometimes Samaritans throw rocks at them. Jews treat the Samaritans as the same as the Gentiles. They are their half brothers, but they treat them as dogs and, you know, as other people. We look at those two nations where it comes from, and in Galilee is one of the parts that Jesus spent most of his ministry. It was the scene of some memorable events of Jewish history. Galilee also was the home of our Lord during the, at least 30 years of his life. The first three Gospels are chiefly taken up with our Lord's public ministry in this province. The entire province is encircled with hollow of holy association connected with life, works, and teaching of Jesus of Nazareth. It is a noteworthy that of his 32 beautiful parables, no less than 19 were spoken in Galilee. Amen. And it is no less than his first miracle, and it is no less remarkable that of his entire 33 great miracles, 25 were wrought in this province, which is Galilee. His first miracle was wrought at the wedding at Cana of Galilee, his last after his resurrection on the shore of Galilee Sea. In Galilee, our Lord delivered the Sermon on the Mount and discourses of the bread of life on purity, forgiveness, and humility. In Galilee, he called his first disciple. So you see that the Galilee is very important to our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the whole world is important to him. But this is a special place because not only the place that he grew up, he spent most of the time, he performed a lot of miracles. And also, this is the spent all his life in Nazareth, which is in Galilee. When Jesus said he's going to Galilee, he said he must need to go through Samaria. Mind you, that Samaritans don't have a dealing with the Jews because the arguments way back when they divided the nation of Israel. And when Jesus said, I need to go to Samaria, he has to go through Samaria. He didn't go around the bank of the River Jordan or go far away from the Mediterranean Sea. He goes straight through Samaria. And as he came to the place, verse 5 and verse 6, he came into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about 6 hours, about, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus came to the city of Sychar. I study a little bit of this city of Sychar, and there's some things here that it's amazed me. The city of Sychar is about 5 miles from the border of Judea and Samaria. It's about 5 miles. If you look at the city of Sychar, which is in the old time, in the Old Testament, it's called Shechem. And it's mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 and verse 7, said, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. When he came out, when God called him out of Ur of Chaldees and go to the land where God wants him to be, when he came to Canaan, he came to this land called Shechem. And he said, pass through the land of the place of Shechem unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanites were standing in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, thy seed will I give this land. And he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. This is the land that Abraham built his first altar to the Lord. When he came into Canaan, he built an altar in Shechem or Sychar. He claimed the land as the land that God has given to him. In the book of Genesis chapter 33, verse 19, when Jacob left, when Jacob left and went to Haran, Padan Haran, he ran away from his brother Esau. And when Jacob came out of Padan Haran with his kids and his wives, he came to this land and he bought a piece of land right in that land. Not only Abraham claimed the land, he built an altar in the land. Jacob bought the land. He bought the land exactly the same place. He said he bought the land, a pastoral field, where he spread his tent in the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver. It's the same place. Not only that, Joseph willing to bury his bones in the same land. It's in verse Joshua chapter 24, verse 32, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried in Dan Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob brought of the son of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. This is the same land. Not only Abraham claimed the land, he built an altar unto the Lord. His son, grandson, Jacob, bought the land with his own money, 100 pieces of silver. Also, Joseph was, when the children of Israel lived in Egypt for 430 years, after that, that time they came out for 40 years in the wilderness, and when they went in, they take the bones of Joseph and buried in the same place. Why are you saying that, preacher? There's an importance of that land. It's very important, that land, to the children of Israel. And not only that, in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, it's the same place that Rehoboam split the kingdom of Israel. The first same place, the place that his grandfather claimed, the place that one of his grandfather, you know, bought with his money, the place that the bones of Joseph was buried, and also the place that Rehoboam split the kingdom of Israel into. And it's funny, because this is the same place. In John chapter 4, Jesus tried to unify the two tribes together. Amen. Tried to bring back the two tribes, the two nations together. In verse 7 and verse 8, it said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria." They were sitting on the well. They were there at the well, and here cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. I'm going to get back to that verse, because there's a very important point here that bring in that verse. Jesus knew the problem with the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel. Israel was named that God, Israel's name was given by God to Jacob. And the nation of Israel is one nation. He promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 verse 8, he said, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee in the land wherein thou art stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." He promised the same promise to Isaac. He said, "I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." The same promise he gave to Jacob. He said, "And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Genesis 48, verse 4. And this is the land that given to Abraham. 9, verse 9 to verse 11 said, "Then said a woman to a Samaritan, a woman of Samaria unto him, How is it thou, being a Jew, askest me of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans." You know, as I said before, the nation of Israel is one nation. The 12 tribes come from one person. And the problem is created after Rehoboam ruled the kingdom. And they split the kingdom, and they have argument between themselves. You know, the Samaritan does not like the Jews, because the Jews think that they are unclean. And matter of fact, when a Jew step into a land of Samaritan, when they come out of the land of Samaritan, they will dust their feet. Even the dust of the ground is unclean. And that's how serious they were. So it's very, and also the Samaritan think that, you know, the Jews are very conservative, and, you know, they're kind of right wing and left wing in those days. So they don't like each other. And when I came here, Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman and said, Samaritan woman said to Jesus, then said the Samaritan, the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou living water? See, all of us, we have desire for something good. This woman came to this well probably every day to draw water. And she can come to that water every day. Everybody is sick of coming to that water every day to draw water, because it's carrying water. It's not a good thing to do. We had experience in our mission field when the water's out. You had to go get water from the river, and you had to carry it, 2 buckets. Now we have cars now, but that's in the old times. You carry waters on your shoulders, and it's not a fun thing. And this woman went to the well, probably going there every day. They don't have cars in those days to deliver water, but she probably go there, and every day she's sick of carrying that bucket. And she said, Jesus, where is that water? You know, I'm sick of coming into this water. I'm paraphrasing. Where is the water that you talk about? The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. I don't have anything to draw this water, but the well is deep, and whence hast thou the living water? It is amazing that a lot of problems we have because of the problems created by people in the past. You know, traditional problems, we carry with us all our lives. And that's one of the problems that we're facing in our churches, and also we're facing in our mission field. You know, people believe the same thing that people, you know, their descendants told them about. And they still carry on today. You know, it's hard to witness to people that they're being Christianized, so-called Christianized, in 1830s. They were, you know, Christianized by all these London Missionary Society came over and give them their gospel. And we tried to give them something, they believe what they told them. It's the same as like a story of the turkey. Anybody remember that in Thanksgiving story? You know, when all the kids were all together in one house and have Thanksgiving, and so when they grow up and they decide to have their own Thanksgiving, and they move out to the place and find their house, and on Thanksgiving Day, one of those girls calling their grandma, I said, I remember that there is a leg of a turkey that we had to cut out. And grandmother said, what leg? I said, every Thanksgiving we cut out one of the leg of the turkey. Which one, the right one or the left one? And grandmother said, it's not the leg. Our oven those days is too small. We cannot fit a whole turkey in a little oven. That's why we cut out one of the legs so we can fit the turkey in. Today we got a big oven, we can put the whole turkey in. See, a lot of people thinking traditionally, you know, this is what our father told us. And that's the same thing this woman told Jesus, said, our father worshiped in this mountain. And you said in Samaria, in a temple, in Jerusalem, you worship God. So she is an Israelite. And if you look at verse 12 and verse 15, this is the Samaritan woman said, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither cometh either to this water. You can see here the woman claimed Jacob as her father. She said, Art thou greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well? I believe our Lord is a master teacher. Yes. You know, I look for some you know, when I go to churches and they said, can you teach our youth? You know, it is hard to teach a youth, and you teach the little kids. You try to have an icebreaker, you know, because you get in the youth department. Sorry, youth, I'm not picking on you this morning, but you get in the youth department, and they said, the whole time, you try to get something to break the ice so they can listen to you. And sometimes I was teaching the church here in Fort Worth, and the kids are just, I don't know where that dance come from, but, you know, I was trying to get something to get his attention, and the only thing that the whole thing is like this. And I thought, what is this? Where did this come from? And, you know, it's very hard. But, you know, Jesus picked the perfect place to be able to get to the heart of this woman, which is the common ground. Not only that, the Israelite, the Samaritan claim as their father, and also the Jewish claim is their forefather. They picked the right place, the common ground, they'd be able to bring them to Jesus Christ. And God made Jacob great. So the problem we have most of the time is honor the creation more than the creator. Verse 16 to verse 19, Jesus said unto her, call the husband. Woman desired to have the water that Jesus offered. She said, give me this water. I want this water. I don't want to come to this well anymore. I want that living water, that springing out everlasting life. Jesus said, go call the husband. Come hither. The woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, that's well said. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. It says, thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, Jesus know when somebody want that living water, he needs to come to realize that's a sinner. He needs a savior. Jesus said, Jesus does not just say, yeah, pray this prayer and you get saved. Jesus said, you have to reveal your sin. Go call the husband. The woman believed, you know, I that's what I suspect. The woman probably think that I have no husband because she's a harlot. And she don't claim one. You know, you probably have five men, but you don't. But in the eyes of God, you know, book of 1 Corinthians, God told us when a man with a harlot is a one body. Because when God, in the beginning, created man and woman, is for each other. And it's the same problem we're facing in our lives today and in our community today. People have dozens of kids and they're still not married. And they're still not calling their husband or their wife. Their wives or their husband, they call a mate. And a woman said to Jesus, I don't have a husband. I might have five men, but I don't have a husband. But the word said in Greek, you know, a man or husband, or you can translate that way. But a woman understand the law of Moses. Outside of marriage, it's in adultery and fornication. She said, Jesus, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you have five. And the one who stay with you now is not your husband. And, you know, I suspect that the mind of a woman, those five men, had not had any commitment to any of, therefore, it's not a husband. It is the same sin that a lot of people today have. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul said, "What, know we not that which is joined, the harlot, is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh." And in the mind of God, in the eyes of God, when a man and a woman get together, is a wife and... But that's what the world's looking at. It's a mate. It's my friend. Even they have 12 kids together. In verse 20 to verse 25, you know, sometimes we do this a lot. When we get God and sin, we change the subject. Yeah, Jesus said, "Go call her husband and come." She said, "I don't have a husband." And she said in verse 20, "Our father worshiped this man." She changed the subject, totally different. She's not talking about husband. And she said, "Our father worshiped in this mountain. And he said in Jerusalem, in the place where he ought to worship, Jesus say unto her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when he shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. He worship, he know not what. We worship what we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said unto him, "I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Woman said, "Which one is right? You said you are a Jew. You said in Jerusalem we worship God. We said as a Samaritan, on this mountain, on this well, we worship God. Which one is correct? Which one is right?" Jesus said, "Neither. Not in Jerusalem, not in this mountain you worship God. Those who worship God in spirit and in truth." Why? Because when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit come and live in us. We listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever He say, we follow. When we worship God in spirit and truth, because God is a spirit, and those who worship God in spirit and truth. Isn't that the same problem that a lot of Christians today facing? I'm saying a lot of Christians today, I mean not only Baptists. Right. You know, they're going to world beyond, fighting each other. Who is right? Who's wrong? We are right. You are wrong. You know, you have to listen to us. You know what? When God called Israelites, called Abraham, it's for one purpose. It's to reveal God to the whole world. When they went down to Egypt for 430 years, God said that they may know there is a God in Israel. Amen. They named Israel as a lighthouse to the whole world. God placed them right in the middle of the world that they may shine the light of God all different sides of the world. They put Israel in the crossroad. Some churches use the name Crossroad Baptist Church, Lighthouse Baptist Church. Why? Because that's the reason why God put Israel there. And the first place that recorded where the patriarch Abraham and Jacob show whom they worship. So Sijah is a place where the Lord unfolded the principle of true worship, such as God can now accept. Verse 21 to 24. And as Shechem was a place where Jacob first erected his altar to God, the God of Israel, expressive of the position of which Jehovah and consent a stand to him as his descendants. The place that Rehoboam split the kingdom in two in 930 BC, causing the rebellion and idolatry creep in, Jesus chose to bring together the nation, to rekindle the fire, and to focus or their main responsibility that God told them to do. Same place. Not only God promised Abraham, Abraham claimed as a place, him, the place that God, that Jacob bought with his money, the place that Joseph's bone was buried, the place that Rehoboam split the kingdom. Jesus chose that place to bring the two tribes together. He said in verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, am he. Woman said, who are you? You know, our father worshiped this mountain. You said in Jerusalem you worship God. Who are you? Jesus said, she said, well, I know the Messiah is coming. I'm paraphrasing the verse. And when he's come, he revealed everything. And Jesus said, I am he. I am the Messiah. And he said, upon this came the disciple and marveled at talking that woman, not yet said, what seekest thou, or what talkest thou to her? Can you see something here? It said, upon that, the conviction of the Samaritan woman, here come the disciple. Where did they go? Bible said they went to buy meat. If they can see the Samaritans as an unclean land, do you know where they're going? Do you know where they went? 5 miles back to Judea to buy some meat. That's what I suspect, you know, because they don't eat any meat in Samaria. They went back 5 miles, buy meat, and walked back 5 miles. And they said, Jesus, here, eat. Jesus said, I don't want your meat. Do you see what the disciple goes through? Or the Galileans, or the Jews? They looked down to the Samaritans. When they saw Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman, they left. And here comes the time when the Samaritan woman convicted and accept the gift of life. Amen. And here comes the disciple with the thing, and we have to be careful what we focus on. We focus on the worldly things or the spiritual thing. No, here come with food, and they said in the... And upon this came the disciple and Bible. They, wow, what is he doing? He's talking to a Samaritan, a sinner. What is he doing? Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, our God talked to a sinner? Not only Bible, he said in that verse, what seekest thou? Yet no man said, in verse 27, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? Thou woman, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and say unto the men, come see the man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this Christ? Then they went out to the city and came unto him. In a meanwhile, the disciple prayed him, saying, Master, eat. We walked back 5 miles to get you some food. We walked back and we're tired. Eat. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that he know not of. Amen. Therefore said the disciple one to another. Didn't get it? They still didn't get it. They said, in verse 32, they said, but he said, verse 33, therefore said the disciple one to another, have any man brought him food to eat? Did anybody, these are unclean people. Did anybody bring unclean food to our Savior, to our leader to eat? Did he eat anything from this? See where this verse comes from. And he said, verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish it. Jesus said, that's not what I'm focusing on. That's not my meat. My meat is to do what the will of my Father sent me. Amen. And this is come to a verse that we read at the beginning. Jesus said, look up. look up. We're spending too much time looking at each other and said, who's doing right and who's doing wrong? Look up. Look up. The field is wide ready to harvest. But we are spending a lot of times on an argument, who's wrong and who's right. You know the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Paul the apostle said in the Roman chapter 1 verse 16, for I am ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our main focus to reach the world for Jesus Christ. The commission that given to us in the Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 19, go in for all the world. This is the message for us to take it to the world. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 explain the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is enough for us to put our trust in what he did on the cross to go to heaven. Amen. That's the only thing that we can focus on. Other things will come in places when we get the right thing first. That's what Jesus said here. Amen. Look up. The harvest is wide already too. The field. Right. Verse 35, he said, say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. We need to major on a major thing, that to look up and see what God wants us to do. He gave us a commission to reach the world for Jesus Christ. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to go out. I read something last week about a man who was in a prison in Tennessee. Robert Gibson thought he would die in Prussy Mountain Prison in Tennessee. He killed a man in 1976. And in 1982, he was a part of the group inmates that took the card in hostage and fatally shot rival prisoners in their cells with a smuggled gun in prison. He was in prison, and a preacher went there, led him to Jesus Christ. Amen. And he accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ in prison, turned his life around, and now he's going back to prison to preach the gospel to the prisoner there. It's very important. Our task, why are we going out, why are we reaching the world, is for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's to explain people how to get to heaven. The only thing we can do is to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our trust in the complete work of Jesus on the cross. His death, his burial, and his resurrection is enough for us to put our trust in, we can go to heaven. Amen. A lot of people don't get that. And I'm sure I'm telling you the truth. A lot of our people in Samoa don't get that. We have to preach it and preach it and preach it and make it. Yes, people understand, you cannot do anything to go to heaven. The only way you can go to heaven is by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Despite our differences, despite everything that we have, we have to focus on that gospel. Because the Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, look up. The world out there is going to hell. Don't spend too much time on those things that are nonsense, but focus on what God wants us to do. Amen. Maybe something that challenged your heart this morning, preaching of the word of God, but I make up my mind, I have to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Whatever God wants me to do, I have to have that relationship with him. I have to trust in his spirit I had to walk by the Spirit to show me the path I take and what He wants me to do every day. It's a life changing, and it's a life, you know, Christianity is not a one day thing. It's your life.
Yes.
We had to leave as God wants us to leave. God bless you this morning, Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Penny. It's bottom line, isn't it? It's bottom line. Thank you, brother. Know Jesus, N-O. Know Jesus, no life. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W. You know life. And thank you so very much, Penny. You know, it says lift up your eyes. I'm not going to re-preach what Brother Penny preached. We need to get our eyes off ourselves and upon the need that's all around us. Our folks are perishing without Christ, without Him, without that hope that you and I that know Christ have. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for Jesus. Thanking you for that day where you intervened in my life, introduced me to your Son, forgave me of my sin, washed me of all my iniquities. Father, I pray for anyone that may be within these walls today, yet still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very youngest to the oldest, Father, I pray, oh God, make yourself real. Reveal yourself to us today that we indeed would, oh my, acknowledge exactly where we're at. And Father, as our brothers prayed, I'd ask you to help me, help us all to lift up our eyes, to look at Jesus, but also to look on this world in which we live, with all its heartache, with all its pain and suffering, with all its death, Father, hopelessness. We would carry the light of the gospel, the life-changing gospel. We love you, Lord. Thank you today for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Curtis.
Page 154.
As we sing, beloved, please just obey the Lord. Do what He would want you to do today. Obey Him. Obey Him.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thy roam, farther and farther away? Calling today. Calling today, Jesus is calling, He's tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today. Calling today, bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. He's tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to Him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come forth thy sin at His feet lowly bow. Come no longer delay. calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling today.
Yeah, Curtis's voice is gone. Amen. Well, you can be seated for a moment.
/494 is our chorus. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I'll shout and sing. Christ for me, yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, and it's Christ for. Thank you.